Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, let's start our teaching for today by reading from the book of Romans chapter 12 from verse 4. Paul wrote, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." In verse 6 he says, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Now, we have been speaking for quite a while now on the subject of creating the opportunities for prosperity. Now, some of the points we have made, let me run over them in about a minute or two. Number one, we have established, most importantly, that the opportunities for prosperity are first created in the heart before they will have any meaning on the surface. That is, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, we read in verse 23, it said, "Guard your heart with all diligence, because from it flows forth or springs forth the issues of life." That is, the things that you will experience, whether good or evil, in life will come forth from what is inside your heart. That is, the fruit of what is sown in our hearts is what we experience in life. Now, so we have established, therefore, that if we are going to create the opportunities, first the opportunities must be created inside our hearts, and that the major thing is for us to forsake our own thoughts and hold on to God's thoughts. That God said in Isaiah chapter 55, which we have read for a number of times now, that your ways, your thoughts are inferior to my thoughts. I'm paraphrasing. Therefore, you are experiencing what is inferior to what I want you to experience. So he said, a wicked man is known by the way he thinks. So when you use the word prosperity, there is something that God is thinking about when he uses the word. And a godly man will have to learn the thoughts of God to be able to have the correct thing coming out of his heart into his life. Because the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. That is, all the strongholds of difficulties, of poverty, of problems in life, if we are going to overcome them, then our weapons must work through God. That is, it will be by the power of God. We said that is what grace is. Grace is when my thoughts, my ideas, the way I think, have come into agreement with what God is thinking or how God is thinking. And then his power is released to bring results into my life. I say I'm walking by grace. So I'm emphasizing again that we have established that how do we think about issues? If I say, what's a job, what do I mean? Is it something I can show off everywhere and say, look, I am the manager of this particular branch of a bank or a region of a telecommunication company, or I work in an oil company, or I am this or that? Is that what a job is? A man was in my presence once, he was speaking. This was shortly after his youth service. He now said, "Where do you work?" And I said, "I don't have a job yet. I am just teaching somewhere." I just turned to the person. I said, "And you don't call that a job. You are not a serious person." It was somebody who was younger to me, and I could rebuke sharply. So I rebuked him sharply. What I was trying to do was to bring correction to his mind. That how can you say you are not working yet? He said, "What do you do?" Now, this is what I do. It is a job. It is blessing somebody's life. You are affecting the lives of people in that particular place. I'm not saying that a time will not come that you will have to move up onto another job, but you cannot say the expression, "I am not working yet." What did he mean when I said I'm not working yet? I do not wake up in the morning wearing a suit, wearing a tie, and carrying a briefcase and being driven by an official car and then a fast salary. But actually, he was getting up in the morning. There were people waiting for him to wake up. There were people waiting for him to get ready and come and bless them that day. Yet he was saying that I do not have a job yet. That is, he was not thinking like God. And let me say that again to you, child of God. If you don't get ready to think the way God thinks, you will not experience the power of God for breakthrough. That's just the way it is. If your ideas, your thoughts, the things that you are concerned about are not in agreement with God's ideas, because the Bible says clearly there are things that are in the world. It said the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These three things are in the world. And anyone who dwells in them, the love of the Father is not in him. You are getting my point? That is, what's the love of
the Father, that I get away from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I stop worrying about what other people think about me. What concerns me most importantly is that when I wake up in the morning, I go out to go and bless somebody, and that is how I define a job. God says simply, then you are in agreement with me, you are now a godly and righteous man, and you will most certainly experience the power of God in life. Please, I just feel like digressing into something again, and that's the fact that there is a season in life that is called due season, that is called the day of the salvation of our God. That is the day in which God's power will manifest to you and bring you results that are beyond your imagination. Now, before that day comes, because the Bible talks about due season, what is a due season? It means that you have put every event in place, you have done everything that God wanted you to do, and God says, now it is the time to bless you for your faithfulness. That is, the man who is laboring in something small today, he may find that in the space of 2-3 days, he suddenly increased mightily. Our biblical example is Joseph, laboring as a slave. He entered into problems and entered into jail. Laboring as a prisoner, in charge of other prisoners, he tried his best, and then one single day, events turned around for him. Now, we may say that he was an overnight success, when in actual fact, God said he is a success that I'm manifesting his appropriate time. He's a success that has been grown over time. It's just that in the normal, in the everyday human eye, we think this thing started today. But God is saying it's the same thing he was doing in his father's house. And I moved him to the house of Potiphar to give him the opportunity to prove more faithful. And he proved more faithful even though he was in a difficult time. A lot of people would rather sat down in the morning and done nothing because I'm a slave. Or even if they are going to do something, they would do just the barest minimum to prevent them from being punished. Do you understand? Saying that after this man, it's not my father's house. It's not my father's business. What is my problem here? Why am I going through all of this hassle? I know that one day, God will take me back home. And why saying I know that God will take me back home one day, he's not doing anything right now. Are you getting my point? Maybe now, okay, you were believing God for one very great, fantastic job. Your uncle said he was fixing an oil company. He did not. So he said, now I'll be working in my own small company, meanwhile, until I'm able to do something for you. And I said, just everybody, look, I'm just managing here. This is not exactly where I'm going. Therefore, don't disturb me at all. All this time I'm coming to work at 8 o'clock. I can't do it, all right? Because your eyes are on something bigger. But you don't understand that the step, the road to the something bigger is this one that you are in today. But Joseph was not like that. He woke up in the morning and decided, okay, this is the situation we have found ourselves. We'll have to just enjoy it for as long as it lasts. Do you understand? And he tried until Potiphar had so much faith in him that he was put in charge of the whole household. Then, of course, events took him one day to jail. He could have said again that this was not what I bargained for. This God said, I don't know what is going on up there. I bargained to have a good life. I have prayed for him to him, and I know he will answer me. After all, I did not sin. What did I do wrong with my brother to my brothers? And they sold me into slavery. God was watching. What did I do wrong in Potiphar's house? And now I'm in jail. God was still watching. No, he didn't do that. He may have mourned for a day or two. It's natural for somebody to feel bad. But then he girded up his loins again and began to walk. Eventually, he was so faithful in that walk, he was made the ruler of the prison. Now, that's the interesting part, of the prison. But as far as God was concerned, he was a ruler. God is not looking at prison. He's not looking at slavery. He's looking at diligence in the center of where he was finding himself. Are you getting me? And then when God had proved the man faithful, like Paul would say, he now gave him a ministry. What's a ministry? That's the day of the salvation of the Lord I'm talking about. I'm talking about the day of the manifestation of God's glory, what we call the due season. In that particular day, suddenly, of course, you know the story, he suddenly was made prime minister because he preferred a solution to the dream that he had interpreted. And Pharaoh said, can we find a man as wise and as discreet as thou art, seeing that in you dwells the spirit of the gods? That is, I understand that the spirit inside you is beyond that which is natural. You most certainly have something that other people don't have. Okay, that's what I want to talk about again today. And that is his gift. The thing that he was able to use to bless somebody's life was the thing that brought out the opportunity for prosperity for him. Now, the text of the scripture we read today in Romans chapter 12, I brought that one out to bring out a point. He said in verse 6 again, he said, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. He said, let each person exercise his gift according to that grace. That is, there is something that you know how to do. God said, use that, exercise it, and to be the means by which an opportunity for prosperity will be created. Now, I said something earlier talking about Joseph, that it was while he exercised his gift and he was diligent in his work that the opportunity for prosperity was created. Now, I'm going to analyze a number of things that we use in creating the opportunity outside, outwardly now for prosperity. Don't forget, we have emphasized that first the thing must be inside the heart before we even talk about it being outside. I remember the last time I spoke about contentment inside the heart. That contentment does not come from the things that we have outside. That he said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. And that's a matter of fact. And we've also established that we must recognize that we are not hindered by our circumstances. He said promotion does not come from the east or the west, nor from the south. But he said God is judge. And he lifts up one and brings down another. When he says east or west, he was talking about our surrounding circumstances. That the events of life, the price of the dollar, whether Nepal is failing or Nepal is not failing, whether the roads are good or not, all those things don't decide whether you will be promoted or you will not be promoted. Or the south refers to where you're coming from. What certificates do you have? Who do you know? Who's your father? Which state are you from? Were you born in America or you're born in England? Or you were just born in Obiago here? That is, you're not born anywhere outside this country. God said that those things don't decide where you are going to get to in life. You may have been born in a village in Nigeria. You don't even have a birth certificate. Nobody registered your birth. You cannot even claim that you were born in a particular place. You are getting the point I'm making. He said these things are south matters. It does not decide where you will get to tomorrow. Now we must have established all these things in our heart before we go out to labor. Please, I just feel like going over it again, even though I may be sounding like a broken down record. People must hear it until they believe it. Do you get my point? You must hear it until you believe it. Don't go out laboring when you don't believe any good thing can come. Do you get my point? And that is the problem with most people. They go out walking and they don't believe any good thing can come out of it. A young man was telling me the other day about another young man who was working in a bank in this our country, actually in Enugu here, and who was saying that all he's praying for in life is the opportunity to go to America. And the person said, What do you mean? You already have a decent job. What are you looking for? The guy said, I don't. He said, when you get there, what will you do? He said, I don't care. I just want to get there. He said, why? I just want to have the opportunity to own my own house and buy myself a brand new car. And the young man looked at him and said, if that is all you are looking for in life, come and work for me. I will make it happen for you. Now, listen, the young man talking himself did not have a car. Do you get my point? But he had a small company he was running. All right? But he had vision. He had faith that one day, I mean, according to my faith, and when I put diligence to my work, one day God will bless me. Therefore, if he wakes up in the morning, he's expecting great things. And one day, great things will happen. Are you getting my point? But the other man, though he goes to work every day, he's actually not expecting anything at all. He just thinks, let's just go and work. And that is the reason why he will not experience anything. He said, when you get to America, what will you do? He said, it doesn't matter. I don't care. This is the interesting part. This was about a year or two ago that this was said. In the last many months, Americans are now losing their own homes. If you have been watching the news, of course, if you have been checking the price of the dollar, you'll find that it's continually coming down. It's not just because Naira is getting stronger. It is because the dollar is getting weak. The American president admitted openly that our economy is in serious problems. Now, this was a place a man wanted a few years ago to run to abandoning his good job here so that he can go and buy a house which the people who own currently are losing. What I'm trying to emphasize, promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. But God is judge. Wherever you are, he can lift you up. Now, when you know that, you will not use these principles, which I'm talking about today, to outwardly create the opportunities for prosperity. The number of things I'm going to mention. Number one, which is why we read that text from Romans chapter 12, is that number one is your gift. That thing that you can do very well. All right? But let me just quickly run over two other things which I will mention that you use to create the opportunities for prosperity. Then we'll develop those ones later. Number two is your money. And number three is your diligence. I just added that word, your diligence, as if it's a material possession that you have. But actually, you find that that's very important. If you don't put these things into life, it will be difficult for God to even bless you. This is just my own way of explaining a few crucial points about life. But I said these are three things I want us to understand that are important in our creating the opportunities for prosperity. I said, number one, our gifts, very importantly. Then we'll talk about the other two later, money and diligence. Now, what do I mean when I talk about our gifts? We read from this Romans chapter 12 that it said each person has a grace that is given. Grace is the power that works in you that makes certain works come out of you easily. That is, what you do some things with ease that other people find so hard to do.
You get the point I mean there? That's what I mean by the word grace. So Paul said in this Romans chapter 6, he said, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. That is, you will find the power of God working. A natural skill will come out of your life, and that's something that you know how to do effectively. I hope you're getting the point I'm making here. That is, the reason why you have tuned in to me tonight is because I am speaking effectively for you to hear. Now, it is not everybody that will speak as I am speaking. All right? That is, here I have a grace that's given. Therefore, it manifests as a gift that I have, which is attracting attention to my person. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, there are other people. All right? Let me put it like this. Everybody has a gift. All right, that if he exercised, because I use the New American Standard Translation, and it says, let each exercise his gift accordingly. That is, if each person exercises his gift, he will discover that it will attract attention towards him. There is something that Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 29. He said, do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? We're going to talk about that diligence later. He said, he will stand before kings, he will not stand before obscure men. That is, it attracts attention to him. But Paul is explaining to us in the book of Hebrews here, he said, we will get that attention if we exercise them accordingly. That's why I'm going to talk about the word diligence. The first one I read, I use the word diligent and skillful, is the Amplified Bible. It said, a man has to be diligent and skillful in his business. Now, let me tell you something about gifts. Gift is what opens the door for skill for you. What I mean by that is this. If you have a gift and you exercise it, you will become skillful in your gift. You may have a natural inclination to do something, but that has not made you skillful. Let me say this. No matter how much you try, if you don't have the innate ability to sing, you may be able to make some success in singing. I'm not saying it's not possible, because human beings are interesting. If they exercise themselves hard enough at something, they will get a certain degree of mastery in it. But each person has a natural gift which takes him out beyond the ordinary when he exercises himself in that thing. Do you get the point I'm making? And that's what I'm developing first. That is, you have a gift, which Paul said is because God has given you a grace. And I am telling you that if you exercise that gift, Solomon said, you will discover that it will attract attention to you. You will stand before kings. You will not stand before obscure people. Now, there's something I want to explain about that. You see, I've been saying again and again that God created everybody to bring forth a solution to the issues of life. Please, we must get that point clear. God created each and every one of us to bring forth a solution to the issues of life. Before you were born, God knew there was something that you need to add to life. If that was not the case, he would never have allowed you to be conceived. Now, many people live through life without ever putting that one in. But the fact is that before you were born, God knew that there is something that you would need to contribute to the improvement of life, and that was why he allowed you to be born. You may say that there are over 6 billion people on this earth. Are you saying there are 6 billion assignments? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. That each man's assignment is very different from that of another. Each person's contribution might be located in a particular geographical area. So that God has called a man to do something for the Chinese man, and he's somewhere in a particular region of China. Another man may be called to do an identical thing in a particular region of Nigeria. Another person is called to do an identical thing in a particular region of Belgium. The point is that each person was called by God to fulfill a particular assignment. There was something that David said, which I like to use to highlight this point all the time. And that's from Psalm 139. David said from verse 13, for thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. That is, you've created me in a particular fashion inside my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, he said, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows thee very well. He said, my frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eye have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written. Notice this, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. That is, there were days that were ordained for me. And in preparing me for those days,
Are you getting the point? The first thing that God did was to fearfully and wonderfully make me. He made my inward parts. He formed me in my mother's womb. Why? Because there were days that he had ordained that I should accomplish. There were problems I will accomplish in those days. Are you getting me? God knew that one day, this was David prophesying, and prophesying, of course, about Jesus Christ, who also said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. That is, if this applied to me, it applies to every one of my disciples and my children. Now, so David's life as a king was a fulfillment of the plan that God had for the earth before he was even created. So I'm saying that this applies to everybody. It's not just to biblical characters. Now, the point I'm making here is this. The skill, all right, the things that come to you naturally is based upon what God had already formed inside you. Now, these are not new points. We've made them before. But I want to tie it to this issue of creating the opportunity for prosperity. Remember the last time I explained that prosperity is not just about having money, but about creating the situation in which everything works together to bring peace of mind to everybody. That is, if you're in a society, if somebody becomes ill, prosperity for him is that he gets good health care. Do you follow my point? If people have children, part of prosperity for them is that they can properly educate their children, even if it will cost money. That if it's a matter of money, they will have enough money to send the children to good schools. I don't mean show-off schools. I mean good schools. And we are saying creating the opportunities for this. Each person is rewarded with material wealth, with peace of mind in himself and his family, as he has contributed to general prosperity. Please, I need to emphasize that, because one of the reasons why a lot of us and the whole nation and a lot of African nations have not progressed is because we have not understood that prosperity is not individual, but it is first of all communal. That is, we try to create prosperity for other people, and God now rewards us with financial prosperity. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He said, shall men pour into your bosom. Now, notice this. What he was saying, we have only seemed to interpret that according to putting money in an offering basket and receiving God's blessing. Now, that is very correct. If you put money to support the work of God, God will bless you back. But that's not the only way it applies. It also applies to every aspect of life. If you give the manufacturing of furniture to my sitting room, I will give you money back. Do you understand what I'm going to say? If you give books to me to educate my children, I will give you money back. That it shall men pour into your bosom. As you use your skill, that's the point I'm emphasizing, to bring forth prosperity into the lives of other people, then money is poured back into you. But you see, we tend to put the cart before the horse. Like I said, that's the problem that a lot of us have. We think that prosperity is about what I can get. Prosperity is not, let me say it clearly again, it is not what I can get. If you become financially rich, if you have a lot of money and you cannot demonstrate why men poured money into your pocket or what to put out there for them to pour money into your pocket, then you are actually a rogue. Now, whether we give you a chieftaincy title or not, does not change that spiritually God says you are a parasite on the earth. That is, God is not disposed positively towards you. Because here you are, you have 2 billionaire. So they say, okay, give and it shall be given unto you. These are things that men will pour into your bosom. He said, what have you given to them that they poured 2 billionaire into your bosom? He said, well, they did not know when I was signing the papers and collecting the money. That is, I stole from them. That is not real prosperity. That is not enduring prosperity. The one by which God blesses people is that he will show that you are giving out something. Are you getting my point? Sometimes it's your faith that you are giving out. Where everybody said this can't work, you stood up there and said it will work. And because of you, it worked. You were the pivot upon which God built every other thing. God said, no, this is good. You have blessed the lives of other people. Therefore, I will cause men to give back to you. Do you get the point I'm making? That's how you create the opportunity for prosperity. The fact is that real prosperity cannot end with one person. Are you getting my point? It can't end with you. It's not just you are the only one that's rich in the village. The road in front of your house is tight. Your house is big. Everybody else around lives in huts and they live in poverty. But you are the only one that is prospering. There's really, really, really something wrong with you. There's a principle, because we quote the scripture all the time, and a lot of us don't even understand the context in which it was spoken. Quickly, let's read from the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. Creating the opportunities for prosperity is what I'm talking about. Now, the people of Israel had angered the Lord, and Jeremiah had prophesied that they would be carried into captivity in Babylon. And he was encouraging them that this is God's divine order for now. He now said, but God, you see, that's one thing about God. God is very good. He's always looking for the way to do good to people. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. He said, build houses and live in them, that is in Babylon. Plant gardens and eat their produce. He said, take wives and become fathers of sons and daughters and take and all of that and multiply there and don't decrease. This is my emphasis, verse 7. He says, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. Now, I like the way it says in the New Living Translation. It said from verse 7, and work for the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Pray to the Lord for that city. Are you getting my point? He said, work for the peace and prosperity of Babylon. He said, because in its own prosperity, you will have prosperity. In its own peace, you will have peace. This is the point I'm making. You will see that it was not possible for them to acquire their own prosperity and peace if they did not seek the prosperity and peace of Babylon. Please notice this. I was teaching somewhere recently and I was talking about the spiritual foundation for wealth creation. And one of the things I said to people there is that we can have pillars, you know, maybe we're talking about diligence, all right? Networking, talking about how to create wealth and build enterprises. But I said those are pillars that stand upon a foundation. The foundation is that which is invisible, something that is inside our hearts that other people can't see. He said in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, he said, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that the things that we see were not made out of the things that are visible. That is, the real things that bring forth prosperity that we can see are not visible in themselves. What am I talking about? Like in this particular context here, God said, in your heart, you must desire the peace of Babylon. You must desire the prosperity of that land that I have sent you into as exiles. He said, if you desire it now, and the land experience, because he said, you have to pray for the peace of that land. He said, if the land now experiences prosperity, you yourself will experience prosperity. Are you getting my point? No, you know, I was saying earlier that one of the problems we have in life is that of serious selfishness. We think only of ourselves. You will go to places where the whole place is in shambles. Then somebody will construct a very good road from the main road to the front of his house and stop dead in the front of his house. Do you understand? But if you've been to those places, you will see that those roads can't last because roads must be maintained. And you need to have an incredible amount of money to maintain the road that ends only at your doorstep. You are getting the point I'm making. That is, we are not seeking the prosperity of everybody. Where people have developed, it has always been because everybody is seeking the prosperity for other people. Do you understand my point? So that when I want to construct roads, I don't think about the road that gets to my gate. I think about the roads that will be in that village, in that community. So before we start construction, we want to talk with each other. What do we do? How is it that this road will get to each person? Now, this is something about spiritual things. That desire in your heart may be affecting your business that is 1,000 kilometers away. That's spiritual things for you. Some people now say that, why should I be the one to pay for more roads for other people? To whom much is given, much is expected. You are not wealthier than them because you have more sense. And that is one thing that some people who are very foolish in their minds don't yet understand. And if you want to disagree with me in your heart as I'm talking right now, let me not pray for you that God will demonstrate it to you within the next 24 hours that you are not wealthier than other people because you are smarter than them. Because if you continue to think like that in your heart, I am telling you within the next few days, you will make crucial, smart decisions that will almost ruin you. And you will find out that you are not wealthier than other people because you are smarter than them. Solomon said, I have found out that the race is not to the swift. He said, wealth is not to the discerning, nor is favor to men of understanding. Please, we must get the point. So he said, to whom much is given, much is expected. Jeremiah was prophesying here. He said, seek the prosperity of that land. In its prosperity, you will have prosperity. Do you get the point? A friend of mine was talking about the reason why some countries have what appears like a welfarist state, that is, no matter what it is, they make sure each person at least can eat. He said, because they've discovered over a long period of time that if you have a society in which very few people are very wealthy, most of the people don't have anything. They cannot even eat. They said they found out that those societies don't last. that the discontent in the heart of the other people will eventually materialize into decadence in the whole society. You cannot be isolatedly prosperous when everybody else is poor. Listen to me, they will steal from you. Do you get my point? He says, seek the prosperity of that land that I have sent you into as exiles. I've actually digressed slightly from the matter of skill that I was talking about, but we'll continue on it maybe later. But I just want to emphasize this before I close today, that your heart attitude must be for the prosperity of the land in which you dwell, not just for individual prosperity. That is the only time God will be able to shine the favor for true prosperity into your heart. I hope you get the point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.